General Mr. Louis Nelson on February 28, 1989. Okay, Mr. Nelson, can you tell us when and where you were born?
Rebirth County, Kingsville, Texas. 1930.
And the name of your parents and when and where they were born?
Howard Nelson. He was born in Fort Worth. And he came from Kingsville in 1920. Nancy Nelson. She was born in Brazuri. And she came from Kingsville. I don't know what year she came, my mother.
Okay. The name of your grandparents and when, where they were born?
Well, on my father's side, it was Louis Nelson. He was born in Jefferson, Texas. Not on what county. What county that's in? It's out in East Texas. And on my father's side, on my mother's side, John Henry, he was born up there in Brazuri, Brazuri County. That's all I know of that.
Okay, so your grandparents were the ones who came here to Kingsville, right?
Yeah.
And could you tell me, do you know why they came?
They come to work on the railroad.
They came to work on the railroad,
yeah.
And could you recollect on around how many families worked for the railroad back then?
Ooh-wee. As I know, one while there was about 500 blacks working for the railroad.
Here in Kingsville. Oh, it was pretty big then,
yeah. Yeah, plus they had the shop going too, working on the railroad. So in this little small community here, was from Wesash down to Raglan, it was about 2 to 3 houses on each lot back then when I was coming up a kid. And there was quite a few workmen here.
Yeah. Well, could you tell us how well they were paid? How well were they paid?
Oh, no. Let's see. They wouldn't pay y'all that much. They wasn't paid that much. Because it would take them two weeks, and if they run $100 in 2 weeks, they made good money. $125, they made good money. That was good money back then.
How did working for the railroad affect the family? Being like they had to be on the road traveling all the time. Did it cause any problems, or was there anything?
No, there was no problem as far as I know of, because they didn't know that he had to work back then, back during the Depression.
Okay, and how important is railroad to the black community now?
Now?
Yes.
It's still pretty important out there because they always say if there wasn't no blacks on that railroad, they was going to take the tracks up. That's supposed to have been a contract. The blacks is the one that's messing up. They're messing up themselves.
What other types of employment were there available to blacks in the Kingsville?
Well, just service station work, just little construction work. It's mostly, and when they started building that naval base out there, they did little contract work out there, that's all. But the railroad was the main thing here. Always have been, this was the railroad town.
What was it like growing up in Kingsville? Meaning, what were the schools like when you went to school here?
Well, we just had one school to go to. That was the Frederick Douglass little four-room school down there. And so, school was nice, but we had those hand-me-down books from the white school down there. We never did get any new books, but we had the hand-me-down books, and you didn't go no further than the 10th grade. You got ready to graduate. You had to go to Corpus and finish school to finish. But I left Waving here in 46, and it was still going on. I came back when they had closed it down. And then it started going up there with the up into King's High School.
What year was that you came back?
I just come back on furlough. I was in the Army.
Was Douglas always located on 2nd Street?
Yeah, always located right there. Right where it said.
Do you remember any of your teachers?
Yeah, Miss Andrews, old Professor Sales and Miss Sales, and Miss Fox was them was the last teachers here when I left with me. But those were the older teachers that when I was gone. And Miss Wilson, you probably heard talking to Miss Wilson, Debbie D. Wilson's wife. Miss Dukes and them, they would fill in and like one of the teachers get sick or something.
So.
Yeah.
As a child, what did y'all do for entertainment?
Oh, we didn't have too much to do around here as a child coming up. We had to make our own games, you know. We'd make our own little game. We played shooting marbles and boys would shooting marbles, riding donkeys.
You had a donkey?
Huh?
You had a donkey?
Oh, yeah, I had two or three donkeys.
Could you tell us more about that?
What's that? Donkey ride?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I had a donkey and I had a horse. He was the poorest horse in town, but he was the fastest horse in town, too. Amongst, you know, amongst black, white. And that was mostly our, every Sunday we'd have a little race, you know, the donkey race. And we'd have softball, and then we'd get back and have another donkey race. Yeah.
How did y'all come about to getting these donkeys? Where did y'all get all these donkeys from?
They come up from Mexico, little Spanish, we call them Spanish mules, little Spanish donkey, burros. And they come up from Mexico, and we get them. A lot of people bring them here and just turn them loose, and we catch them and keep them, feed them, and just ride them. I think well, your husband had one. Yeah. Everybody around here had donkeys, just about.
Did y'all ride them in town?
Right here in town, all over town. Yeah, it wasn't too many cars back here then either. And you ride them downtown, they had hitching posts where you could tie them when you go in the store somewhere. Hmm. Wasn't too many cars here. So, that's where we had our fun. Very few boys had bicycles. About one or two bicycles around here in town. The call boys even used to call on horses.
Hmm.
Yeah, they used to call on horses. They just quit calling on horses. Well, I left with him here in 46. Around 40. 41, 42, they quit calling on horses. All the cowboys had horses because there wasn't no paved streets down here. And when it was raining, it looked like it used to rain every day back there then. And they had to get out and go to people's houses. There wasn't too many had telephones. And so they had to have a way to get to everybody. They went horseback. Yeah, they went horseback.
What else did y'all do for entertainment? What about the churches? Did the churches have
churches? Yeah, well, they would have, churches have little picnics, and each church had a little ground, a little playground. The Methodist Church down here had the largest area, and we played croquet and bingo down there. weekends whenever we had a chance. And we had a big old two-story hall right here. It was Mason Hall. It's like that building, but it was him. It was two-story upstairs. That's where we had little dances every now and then. They want to move vendors, you wind up, put the needle in it, have a little record hop over there. And that's about the best it was right here in Kingsbury.
What type of relationships existed with kids from other races? Like the Hispanics and the whites?
We didn't have any.
No relationship at all?
No relationships at all. If it was, it'd be a knuckle drill. Marvel, they didn't. We could go to pitch show, but when just playing, we played over on this side, and they played over on this side. Not cross, we say.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask next. What sense of territoriality existed? What was the range of the black community? No.
Just from Weesaster to Caesar. As far as it went, from 3rd Street to 1st Street. Because those houses over there across 1st Street, they just started building them over there. There wasn't no houses. That's all pastor back over.
What about relationships that were associated with those from the Navy?
Well, that was back, that's after they built the naval base. Well, these sailors, they back then, they didn't mix too much, but this was the only place for them to come, the black. And so they had on the USO, that the Club Delisa, that used to be the USO for the sailors. And then they had about 5-6 cafes for them to go to. It wasn't too much, about 6-8 cafes around here back in the end.
Who's some of the black businesses back then?
Well, it was Jim Moore's Grocery Store, or Wickham's Grocery Store, and we had Smoker's Barbecue Pit, and we had Ain't George's Barbecue Pit, and we had John Polk's Barbecue Pit, and let me see, what else around here? Oh yeah, Barber Shop, Nelly Brooks Barber Shop.
Tell me what families dominated in the black community here in Kingsville?
What families dominated?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. If any families did.
Or just left with
me? Yeah. No. What families
had more or less
control the black
leaders?
To control the black neighborhood.
Money.
Well, back then, everybody had just about the same amount, but the leading man here was Mr. Will Thomas. He had more power than anybody. He run a cleaning pressing shop up there, Will Thomas, because him and Russell Smith was the one broke the ice for the blacks to go to ENI College. Russell Smith, he was the first black to go to ENI College out here, and I guess he fought it about a year, 2 years before he got a chance to go.
And when, about what year was this?
I was in the Army, and that was around, about 47, 48. Miss, what's her name, was the first to go to college, and Miss Rebecca. Miss Rebecca wasn't the first one to go to college. She went to college out there. Here's, Russell Smith was the first black to go to lay foot on that ground out there and get a set of books.
What, other than that, what other issues have been important to the blacks in Kingsville? Major icebreakers, like you said.
Well, after I left Wayman, that's when they start that desegregation. I was in Odessa. I was living in Odessa then, so I don't know how it was around here. But when I left, that was what was going on when I left here. That Russell Smith, was, I remember that, and that's about all. I don't know about the rest of it. I wasn't here.
Why did you decide to go to Odessa?
Huh?
Why did you decide to leave Kingsville?
I was tired of it. And I had been living here. I was born and raised here. I wanted to get out, and I left. And I went to Odessa, and I said I wasn't coming back, but I wound up back here.
Where do most young people go when they finish their education?
Right here, as far as I know of. I don't know too many kids left. Well, they go to Houston. That's about as far as I know of, any of them go. Because just about everybody finished school right here is in Houston. There's one or two scattered. Johnny Moore. He's in Washington, D.E. Wilson, Washington, Ernest Houston, son's in Washington. It's not too many of us to state.
If any, what opportunities exist for black youth, you know, young men and women in Kingsville?
If any, it's not any.
No opportunity.
They get any. They got to be good with these missing.
How hard is it for blacks to move into the community, you know, to become a part of this black community here in Kingsville?
Oh, that's no problem there. No, not to move in.
And for people here already living here, they would accept a new family coming in.
Well, yeah, they don't try to stop that. What it is, what makes it rough on people that move in, they can't get a job after they get here.
Was that same problem back then?
No, because everybody back then was moving in here. They would hire them out there on that railroad. They'd hire all the brakemen out there and over there in that shop. That they could. Yeah. But other jobs, like working downtown, stores, banks, stuff like that, none of that.
What about politics? Did any blacks get involved in politics back then?
Nobody but old man Will Thomas. He was the only man as I know of. Oh, I think so. Since he's taken over.
Year. Huh? At least a year.
But I'm sure this is a man who murdered my wife. At least a year. Sure. Let's see. I don't know when old man Will Thompson, the man Will Thompson died after I was in Odessa. And he had been here all his life just about. And I left with him 55 and I don't know when he died. See, my daddy can tell you all of this. He can tell you just about, might not tell you the date, but he can tell you just about the year and everything. Because he don't go no, you know, work out on that railroad, right? That's it. And he got good, remember? Huh? Yeah, Gladys Steen.
Yeah, we're gonna talk to them.
A little. She was born and raised here and been here.
We're gonna talk to them a little.
I don't even think she ever. She ain't never left here to go nowhere to live to stay. As far as I know of, and as far as my dad and them talk to, she was born here and raised here. Still here. She been here 80 some years. Huh? She is almost 80. If she ain't 80. Red skin ain't no baby. She way older than Miss Wright and Nancy, my mother. She way older than that. My mother's 75. My dad's 75. So she pretty close. She ought to be 80.
Back then, what was the type of family structures here? How was the families? Was it usually the women? Was it very many women head of households or what? What type of family structures did y'all have back then?
Women. There was quite a few women. Quite a few men.
The men
was mostly the head of the house, but you know, so they say, you know, all men say that.
But you meant the families like the Pulls, they
had their mother and father. Yeah, yeah. The Pullum, the Kings, the Chasing. Yeah, all of them had their mothers and fathers. The older people just started dying out here since I've been gone.
How common was divorce back then?
You didn't see any, not too. You didn't see no divorce. People separated.
Who was the attitude towards the children that were born out of wedlock?
Who was the attitude of?
Towards the kids that were born out of wedlock.
Would they accept the children?
Now, what I'm thinking to say, I don't know of any until. I don't know but one. And that was the McGee. Everybody else is supposed to be dead. Not dead. Mm-hmm. But Howard was going to somebody I know around here. But everybody else is supposed to be there. Supposed to be where they're supposed to be yet.
Okay. What was the attitude towards interracial marriage back then?
No, Lord. You none of that. You forget about that. When I left with him, you had to go in the back door to the cafe. You know they wasn't going to stand no matter. If you wanted to go in there to get your sandwich, you had to go in the back door. No, sir. They're not talking about looking at one of them.
What was the attitude towards the law? And stuff like
that. What type of relationship was with the blacks in law enforcement?
Well, in the sheriff department, old man Jim Scarborough, he'd been sheriff here. He was the sheriff here I know for 40 years. And he retired, and the one before him got killed. Now, he didn't like black too well. He rallied. He got killed uptown up there in the White Kitchen. Spanish got shot in with a shotgun. But for the sheriff department, that was good towards the black. Always have been. But now the city was the one used to be rough on the black. The city used to be rough on the black.
Did it harass?
Yeah, they always were trying something. And they'd get rocked and chunked. At night, then they got them put in place. At night, you could get the city to come down. Yeah. We'd set them on fire.
Y'all did what?
They set them on fire. That's that way the sheriff department could come. Sheriff department, oh man, it's called the ego. Bother nobody. 9 times out of 10, he'll tell you, you come up there. He tell you, come up there, you come up there. He wouldn't take you down. He just tell you, come up to the courthouse, be up there. And you better be up there. He don't have to come back down and get you. You walk on up there the next day sometime. But the city, they used to try to be bad. Archie Goose, they would come up and kill. Even over in Spanish Town, and Mexican would kill them. Yeah. We would rock them. Taking a mini bottles of Coca-Cola bottles. Back then they didn't have no when you know air conditioning. Uh-huh. Take a Coca-Cola bottle and put some gas in it, light it, throw it right in their car at night. Down the alley we go. They couldn't catch us. Don't know which way we went. They come down here and we didn't lie them down here tonight.
Did the Klan exist back then? Here in Kingsville, the Klan.
Who?
The Ku Klux Klan. Did they exist in Kingsville, too?
Yeah, they used to have a camp right up there by the cemetery. But they broke that up. These blacks broke that up. The older blacks broke that up.
So that was before your time, huh?
A little bit before my time. I was a baby, but when Mr. Barney got all messed up, they had a shootout. All the blacks and the whites. And the blacks pushed them all across the track and they ain't had no more of that. Yeah, they used to have a camp. Great big old top hole, you know. Plank folk that where they'd meet. Because all that was wood back over there.
Before it was a black cemetery back there?
No, that cemetery always have been there, but this side of the cemetery, right down that corner where the park is.
Oh.
Right in there used to be a Ku Klux Klan. That's what they hauled back up in there. I was small, but they finally tore it down. These niggas got to shooting them peckerwood. They hooked them on up back across that.
All the places they want to put it right next to the black community.
Huh? Yeah. Right out there.
He's talking about where the black park is now, right?
Yeah, that's where the black park is.
How was, do you know of any, like, folk traditions among Kingsville blacks? Like, folk medicine? You know, like, little things, like home remedies, stomach aches, cuts, and stuff like that.
Not right here now. My grandmother used to have home remedies. And everybody around here had their own home remedies for different medicine and stuff.
Tell us about some of them. If you can remember.
Well, she used to go to East Texas and bring back some roots.
For what?
That's what I'm trying to think of what she'd give them to you. She had some roots they'd bathe in. They had roots they would boil and drink.
What was it for your stomach?
Yeah, most stomachs.
Whooping cough.
Yeah.
Hog
hoof tea, the mare milk for whooping cough. Go out and milk a mare for whooping cough. Chicken pox, they give you. Shuck tea.
From corn shucks?
Mm-hmm. Take them corn shucks and boil them.
Uh-huh.
After they dry it out, boil them, make a tea out of it. Yeah, they'd make them chicken pox fly. Yeah. Common you.
What did they give you that tea for?
I forget that, but it was a tea.
Yeah, it was a tea. I remember the tea, but what they were strictly for.
You don't remember. You know the Miss Les?
No, I know my mother gave it, but see, I'm not from here anyway. But we had to have that tea. Thank you.
I used to see them take red inks and put in.
And they, yeah, nine red inks.
Nine red inks, tie them around the neck for teething, around baby's neck. Them red inks you see them crawl, take nine, put it in there, and sew them up in there while they're alive and let them die. And they wear them around their neck till they cut all their teeth. And you take kids with the bed, well, then they kill rats and fry them and give them to them.
I don't either.
Yeah.
This is the first time I heard that one.
Yeah, my brother used to do it. My grandmother would fry a rat and give him. Broken, break him up from peeing in the bed.
I don't blame him.
Did he know it was a rat?
No, he wouldn't know it. They think it's fried chicken or something.
So it tastes like fried chicken?
I guess so. I never did eat it. I never did with the bed. But, you know, he was a big boy. He went to bed and they fried rat. And then after so long, he didn't eat so many, and he would slack a bit telly. It would tell
him. Learn something every day, don't we?
Oh, yeah, they had all kinds of little medicine that they had. You didn't go, we never did go to no doctor.
Never went to the doctor for anything.
So, was there any black doctors back
here? No, there was no black doctors here. No, oh, yeah. My grandmother beat a doctor.
What was the food like? Did y'all butcher your own animals and stuff like that? Or?
Well, there's a lot of them here did have their own hog. A few had cows and calves. And they did their own milking, stuff like that. Yeah, it was a few. We had a couple of hogs. I know I was telling what Davis yesterday about how I used to ride them hogs in the backyard. I ride them all over that backyard.
We used to do that every field, man. We used to raise hogs. We used to ride his all the time.
Yeah, they hard to ride. Yes. They hard to ride.
That's real. Huh?
Yeah, they hard to ride.
So y'all did that entertainment too, huh?
Oh, yeah. Wait. I have potato race. Take our potato and draw a line, one on the end, draw a line on the other end. Take a spoon, pick them up, run with them, try to see if we get the most potatoes to the other line.
Where?
That was 1 hour little game. Different games, flying kites and stuff like that. It come back to you. Think about it. You know, things you used to do.
What's some of the traditional foods that y'all like?
It's about the same. Same right now, but them chitlins, hog maw, green potatoes. It's about the same now. Wasn't too much fried food, mostly boiled food.
And any special pastries that were made?
Very seldom, you see. Well, it'd be cakes made, all different kinds of cakes, pies, nice. My wife, by fixing me a a surf pot. I don't think she knows how to fix a surf pot.
What's a surf pot?
It is a surf pot.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to make it.
A minced meat pie.
Oh.
You know. What that other pie mama used to make.
Raisin pie.
Raisin pie. They got enough with raisins.
Sounds good. Huh? Say, that sounds good.
It's good, but it's so big.
Do you think the food back then was richer than it is now?
Well, it wasn't richer, but it had a better flavor.
Better flavor.
The flavoring was better. Because there's something missing in the taste today. Maybe it's what they're using to grow food, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, it was more earth, just better taste. Everything had a different taste, including your sweet potatoes, your hush potatoes. Your greens had a better taste. Cornbread,
everything was from scratch, really. Yeah. What kind of arts and crafts did women make back then? Like
quilts, piece quilts, crochet. What is other? Not a, it wasn't they crocheted too.
Did
embroidery. And what else did they used to do? They used to have a seamstress deal going on. Sewing club, yeah. Aprons and stuff like
most,
that.
Mostly it was piecing the quilts.
Yeah, in the winter time.
This was just black women?
Yeah, just black women. They would go from house to house with these quilts.
What did men do as far as arts and crafts were concerned?
Men be shooting dice.
Damn. For arts and crafts.
They didn't do no arts and crafts.
No. No. It'd be out there and that it'd be out there hustling money.
This was a fast town for gamblers.
Huh?
Fast town for gamblers.
Yeah, this town was fast. They gambled 24 hours a day every day. Never was shut out. Hey, y'all gotta be quiet.
Were there any folk narratives, jokes, legends, anything like that?
What, around here?
Yes.
Yeah, they told them different jokes.
Oh, we got Jerry Moss and William Montgomery, about two, that's all. That I know of, you know.
There wasn't any legends or anything like that?
Huh?
There wasn't any favorite stories around back then, was it? Legends?
Nah. It just, they just make up a couple of lines or something and sit down and tell you.
Who was the popular music back then? I know you know that.
Oh, there was blues, bailout blues. That's them blues they say put you back in the attic. If you seen my milk cow, please drive on down this way. They ain't had no milk and butter since. The milk cow been gone away. That little boogie woogie and blues. That's about it.
In the churches?
Well, the churches had theirs. You know, there wasn't no blues. The Holiness Church, Baptist Church. Always have been four churches. As far back as I can remember, it's been four churches. The Holiness Church, that Baptist Church. When they moved to Baptist Church because of the old ground, that's where they got the parking area over there in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this Methodist Church been here ever since. It's right there in the other church of St. Paul been out there. So them four churches been here ever since I know the church.
How was the relationship between the four churches? Did the people get along well, you know, or were they?
Yeah. They used to have picnics and they have a, they don't do it now. Mm-hmm. But back then, these churches used to get together and they'd have picnics. One church they have called a dinner. Mm-hmm. And all churches would go over there and they have dinners. You know, they swap around, they have them baskets. And spread them sheets out there on the ground and sit down and eat on Sundays after church.
Were there any local bands? Who were the local music makers around?
Well, they had real local band. Never did just say the local band. We had just some guys that would get together sometime and make some music. But that's after I left Waco. Because mostly all the bands that were played here, they come from here, from out of town. The younger group came up with.
What kind of dancing was popular?
What kind of dance?
Mm-hmm. Who was the dance steps?
Oh, just the old swing out. The dip. What was that?
Who was the dip?
Oh, that's something they swing your way out and bring back and go down to the floor and come
the
back.
The girl goes down, yeah. You know, she twists it all the way, going around. Mm-hmm. He's swinging her around and she's coming back,
Texas hop.
Jitterbug.
Listen,
if you're married.
Back in the 40s.
So you didn't know the dances before the 40s, huh?
Oh, I'd look at them. They, back then, they used to do a lot of, they used to have a lot of waltzes. Mm-hmm. They had that hall, but that was for wrong people, you
know.
You're
talking about the Messiah call, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they used to have dances there for waltzes.
Two-step
waltz. They used to have waltz parties. Mm-hmm. Who's the best waltzer and who's the smoothest waltzer? Judges, you know. Something for people to do, let them entertain.
That's it. We appreciate your time.
We appreciate it.
We think this is a good.
Well, then you go down there, ask that old man down there.
We just started here, and then we kind of want to get a little bit of everyone's opinion and everybody's, you know, ideas and stuff.
He can load you up because he was here way before I was. He can tell you what happened way back. Where he used to stick to Kyle yet and all of that. I was before I didn't know. I remember when they put sewage down here.
You do? That's important. What year was that? Do you remember, have any idea?
No, I was way back in the 30s. I was a little kid. Mm. But I knew the first sewage line was laid down in here. When they come down the road, that used to be the main line going out 2nd Street. I mean 3rd Street. Mm-hmm. Main water line come down 3rd Street.
Before then, what did y'all do for water and stuff?
They tote water here.
Where you tote it from? Ain't no river.
From the cemetery.
From the cemetery.
Yeah, they had water wells. They had windmills out there. Uh-huh. They used to tote water. I remember when they didn't have no. I remember when there was no electric lights down here. Everybody had lamps. No gas down here. Cut wood. That was way back in the 30s.
So you had to go every day and tug water, huh?
Yeah, tug water.
How many times did y'all usually tap
water? Go get this ice dock from the railroad and steal the ice.
Steal
the ice where they used to ice those cars.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. They had an ice place out there. We go out there and get that ice. White ice.
Oh. You know what? I thought you were talking about. You went to the ice house, but you, instead of well, going to the ice house.
They had an ice house. Uh-huh. They had a man here delivering ice. Uh-huh. But a lot of times you didn't have money to buy the ice, so go over there and get the white ice. I remember when there wasn't no ice, no freezing deals. I think a foot, when they come out with Lick Twisted down in here, I think the first freezing deal my grandmother had was a Western house. I never will forget. Man, they bought a one when they got decorated like they bought a Western house. They had a wood stove in the kitchen that they cooked on when they got gas. Wood stove, the heat vibes.
So they, you were too busy to have too much time to go out and play.
Well, I had most of them bested that I didn't have to milk no cow or nothing.
Oh.
I didn't have to milk no cow. We didn't have no cows, but I had my hogs slop. Mm-hmm. Didn't have a tooth. Mama never would keep over two hogs. Mm-hmm. Raise them during the summer and kill them in the winter.
Hmm.
I had one billy goat, and then we were going to try to have some goat for him.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a billy goat, wouldn't lie nobody in the backyard, so that he butted my granddaddy and knocked him with some assets three or four times. He got rid of all the goats. Wouldn't have to worry about no goats. No, I never did have to do no milking, but I tried to chop wood. Me and Van, we used to move around from house to house with the women.
Mm-hmm.
We cooked wood for them. We had some old sisters like Sister Henderson, Miss Ainsford Green, Miss Sally Cruel. Them was old widow women. Their husbands had died.
Uh-huh.
They were old. We go around their house and they cut their wood up for them for the night, enough to last until the next day.
How much did y'all usually charge?
What? That?
How much y'all get for that?
15 cents the most.
Uh-huh.
Or 6 cents, a nickel.
Well, back
chips.
Back then, 15 cents was lots of money.
Oh, yeah. Man, get a dime, he's in good shape. You go to the store and get him a stick of bologna, get a nickel.
Mr. Nelson, can you tell me when and where you were born?
Yeah, Fort Worth, Texas. September 29th, 1950.
Okay, and why did your family come down here? You came down here with your parents to Kingsville?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And why did y'all come to Kingsville?
Huh?
How did y'all end up in Kingsville?
On account of my dad was working for the railroad, and he come down here working for the railroad.
Okay.
See, we was all born in Fort Worth. And then he come, well, he was working on a railroad at Frisco in Fort Worth. And he left there and went to Houston and went to working for the Missouri Pacific at the freight house.
Yeah.
And then they told him they need brakeman down here. And that's what he always wanted to be, was a brakeman. And he hightailed down here and said, they told him there was a hind brakeman, colored brakeman. And he hightailed down here in 1960. He hired down here in the 1960s.
Okay.
So we came down here in 1970. But we didn't have no place to go to live. And we had to go back to Houston. See? We had to go back to Houston until he found a house for us to live in. We only lived in this house here. He bought this house in 1970, the same year We came here. You brought me back.
And why was the colored training of America organized?
What?
The colored training of America.
No, CTFA, how they was organized?
Yes.
Now, I don't know about that, how they was organized, but that was before my day.
Okay.
See, I don't know. It can't nobody answer that, but them old heads, they all dead and gone now. Now, like my dad, if he was he was the president of the CTFA once. But all them old heads, they didn't know. Yeah. I don't know myself how they was organized. And I was the president once. I was the president of the CTFA.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Could you tell me why they were organized?
No. I didn't stay those coming there. No. I resigned. No, I resigned.
Okay, how well were they paid out there?
Well, when I got hired in I was hired in 1927. Breaking. We were making $5.01 an hour. I mean, a day. $4.47 on local. $5.59 on switch. And $4.47 on through freight. The best you make it, you make 13 days out there at $5.01. The best you could make would be $13, I mean $65 every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks. See, for years, we didn't know what time and a half was. We only worked for straight time.
I see.
We didn't start getting time and a half until, I think, around 1947, 1946, something like that. We worked for nothing but straight time. Kilt was a black person.
How important was the railroad to the black community in Kingsville?
Huh?
How important was the railroad to the black community here in Kingsville?
Oh, it was a lifesaver for the black people. Because it was nothing else for the black. Well, the black folk, it was working in shop. In shop, there were plenty of black people there. Working like the boilermakers, helpers, machinists, for blacksmiths, no pipe fitters. That's about all. That's about all. Boilermaker helpers, machinists, and years after that, somewhere about the, I think about 1946, 47, they started to hire black machinists. Then they started to hire black boilermakers. Yeah. And that's when this discrimination, wasn't no discrimination. They had to hire them. You understand?
Yes.
They had to hire them. So we put, and then about that, by the time we were ready to close the roundhouse and shop down. Because the diesels, that's what closed the shop down, is the diesel. See, we used to have steam engines.
Yes.
When it got these diesels, that automatically closed the shop down. It used to be people going with blackbirds going in there. I guess it was 3,000, 4,000 people in and out of the shop there. It used to be a fence around here, you know, all the way around. and people just were transferred, had gates where the black was coming this way, and the Mexican they went out this way, the white went the other way. But it was nice after they began to hire boilermakers and boilermakers and machinists and blacksmiths. It was good then.
Yeah,
it was good. But for years, it wasn't making no money. Boilermaker heifer with the way made 42 cents an hour. That's what they made, 42 cents an hour. But after this, I guess around 49, it was somewhere along that, they were around $12-$13 a day.
What other types of employment were there available in Kingsville? What other types of jobs did blacks have in Kingsville other than the railroad?
Around here?
Yes.
No. That's all. This all.
Just the railroad.
Yeah. More than other things, put shoe shine boys. Shoe shine boys, that's all. And the railroad, that's all. Because the Mexicans had all the jobs. Like grocery stores and things, clerks and things. Wasn't no blacks in there. No.
Still do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Still do.
Mm-hmm. But now we have blacks in the bank, working in the banks around.
Yes.
I guess you've seen that.
Yes.
They've got blacks working in the in jailhouse. You got blacks working in the city department. You got black all over the town around there working now. You used to didn't have that.
What was it like growing up in Kingsville?
What it was like?
Yes.
It was nice. It's better than a whole lot of the towns in the South. Chamberlain was one of the outstanding little towns in the South. The reason why I say that was because there's so many things happened in other towns. Negroes, there's a Langston. It's quite them. White girls and things will talk with blacks with no language. It was all out here. That was long all the time. They used to have what you call a good time in Iowa. And there'd be more blacks than there was white women in there. But that. And the sheriff used to tell these white folks, leave these niggas alone. If one of them jump on one, he knows his belt. They all had almost killed people when they kept him down here.
Exactly, I told you
that. Yeah. It's almost killing. And you better, we didn't have that, had no such thing as niggas. We didn't have no such thing. Now, lots of places, nigga this and nigga that, we didn't have nothing like that. These people respected the black people here. They were respected. I say it because the job and the passion of the work, kind of work they did, they were respected. They made just as much money as a white man. Not as much, but they know he had a good job and a good living.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell him what broke up that Ku Klux Klan gang.
Oh. Well, that didn't last no time, that Ku Klux Klan.
Tell you this, the niggas won't be
terrible. It was a shooting scrape out here once. One girl, one color, got shot in his arm broke.
Yeah.
Got shot in him. Some engineer come out here and was going to kill the engine of me, a brakeman. And these here other brakemen were late for him. When they got back, only about 4 or 5 blocks, and they worked him over. He got shot, though, but there's no more body. Nor is there a chamber or I've been in Palestine and Congo and all of them little places where they hardened black people. I've been to like Palestine. I've had my wife married to a girl. My wife wasn't there. I was married to a girl in Palestine. You go in her town and you go to the store and if some white people behind you, you had to step up the side and let them wait on you. Sure. At some drugstores, there didn't allow black in there. Like Palestine. You heard the term Palestine there.
Yes.
Yeah. The only way the blacks didn't have no, to go in the drugstore to get medicine, they had to go in the back of the drugstore. Did a lot of blacks in the drugstore. Here in Tampa, we can go anywhere.
But you couldn't go eat?
Huh?
Couldn't go sit down and eat?
Oh, no, you couldn't sit down. But you could go in the front and get in the others and go get what you want, you know. Get what you want of it. Some places go for it. They were tough on Negroes in this, like Conroe and all back in there. Besides, that's why I say Chamberlain is number one. I'd love to, I'd rather live in Chamberlain than in this place in State Texas. I say in the State of Texas, I didn't say United States, I didn't say Texas. Yes, this is a good town to live in. Good town.
When you was a child, what did y'all do for entertainment?
When I retired.
When you was a child, what did you do for entertainment?
What did you do when you were coming up? Y'all didn't know I'm shooting ball with the grand dog.
Oh, what I did for entertainment?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I started young. I started breaking when I was 14 years old. I was 14 when they hired me breaking. Then when I started working at the roundhouse, I was 13 years old, so I didn't see too much of young life. You understand?
Yes.
I called myself a man when I was 14, 13 years old. And they counted me one. I used to go in the gambling house when I was 12, 13 years old. Of course, this figure I was old enough, you know. I was just 14 years old. Yeah. But, entertainment wasn't no entertainment around here. Of course, there wasn't a 1933. It was dry. Campbell always was dry. Wasn't it? People, brakemen used to tote whiskey and stuff from Mexico. But they used to what is it they drink? Tequila and. Tequila and what that old white stuff?
Muscat.
Yeah, Muscat. That's what they would use to drink, because wasn't no whiskey. Yeah. And the first beer joint was right down here on the corner here. And the first beer joint, it was beer, they called it 3-2. And you get a glass for a nickel. And they called it name is 3-2 because it's 3 part water and 2 part alcohol. And that was the name of it, 3-2. That was the name of it, 3-2. 3 part water, 2 part alcohol. You have to drink a gallon, a barrel of it to feel good. So that was our entertainment. And it was back then that day. Now I had a friend. We could get our liquor and stuff too at the drugstore. the man running the drugstore was a bootleg. The pharmacist, he was running the drugstore. And all we had to do is go walk in there, and he knew all of it. And he'd go in there and reach in there, and he put it in the paper sack, and he put it on my book. Well, man, I had a friend of mine, we were raised together. His name's Eric Martin. And he was going to school then. I was jet breaking. And then on paydays, they were like, him and I would go at these weeds, the woods out here. Yes. And I would buy a pint of slow gin and give them a pint of slow gin. And when we'd get out in the woods, we couldn't hardly get out of the woods. We'd be so drunk. Now, that was our entertainment. And then the other entertainment, most of the kids had parties. Sometimes it'd be two parties a week at the house, you know.
Yes.
But most of the girls, the mothers and things, was at the party watching everything you do. And then when they went home, you had to walk ahead of them. Oh man, it's tough. It's tough. That's the old time stuff. If you get too far, slow down. Don't get too far ahead of them. They want you to stay right where they can hear you talk.
Oh man.
It was tough. Growing up, I know what I mean with girls. It was tough. The only place we had to go was from house to house having parties. Yeah. We had plenty of them. And you didn't have to eat because with ice cream and cake. That's all you had, ice cream and cake. Now somebody else, some people make what you call homebrew. You remember the homebrew?
Well, he don't know nothing about
home. You don't know nothing about home.
No.
You don't know how to make beer?
No.
You know? Well, we used to make our own beer. That was a better beer than that 3-2. Because you drank that, you drank about 3 bottles of that, you were drunk. Homebrew, we call it.
Yes.
And most of the guys they go and dig holes out in there and box it all in, put sawdust down in there and everything, put about a block of ice in it, have cold beer, and they sell it to the white people. Some of them made good money selling that homebrew.
Yes.
We did. My mama, every time a batch come on, another batch of all. We kept beer. Hey. And she didn't drink it. She didn't drink it, but we kept it. None of us in the family drank. No, my daddy, he wasn't a drinker. But he was a good gambler.
Yes.
He loved gambling. And that's mostly what the Negroes did around here was gambling. The gamblers. They gamble night and day, night, all day, gamble. You see little boys maybe have $10, $15 in their pocket where they gamble and give it to them. It's gamble. That's all they knew, the gamble. Big money too, but no 5 or 10s, a dime or sugar, nickel or sugar. 105, 110, $50 a shot, and all sorts of stuff today. Big money. If you was lucky, you could walk out of the building, the pool hall with $1,400, $1,500 in your pocket. It wouldn't hurt the game. It wouldn't hurt the game. No. Because we had one man that had a store right there on the corner. He always had $4,000, $5,000, or $6,000, maybe $1,000 in his pocket when he go in the pool hall. And when he come out, he ripped broke. We call him Jim Buzz. I know I feed him out about $600 one morning. I said, I ain't going no more. He said, come on, get your money. And daylight was just coming over the rise. And I come on down to the store, and he opened the door and got count his $100 bills. He would pay his bills. But he got broke, him and his brother. We had a beautiful store here. Good business, good business. Had plenty of white business. They gambled it all. Him and his brother gambled it all. And they both dead now. And there's no gambling here now, because all of them dead. All the old timers is dead and gone. All the old gamblers are dead and gone. This is a new generation here in Kansas now. Yeah, it's a new generation. All of them dead and gone. But it used to be a good time. Man, it used to be a good time, yeah. Yes. Now, what else you want to know? I can talk so much that I can talk to Jeff by the
phone. Well, you just go ahead and tell me whatever you want to tell me.
I think that y'all would have even covered all of everything.
He was, you know, it's a lot. I told him that I go in as far as I could go back, you know, as far as I could remember.
Well, yeah, you would. And you come along around 19. When were you born?
You know, he can't even remember me and my brother.
Now you get up old. I'm 75 years old now. You get up in age, you forgetful. I'm forgetful now. I can't remember like I used.
Yes.
I don't remember my name half the time. When you get up, and then the people now, there's something, about the food or something, the people's eating, there's something wrong with it. There's something wrong with the food. The food ain't like it. We usually have good food.
Yes.
The food ain't worth a meat. You can't get a decent steak. If y'all think you're eating, y'all ain't eating it. It ain't nothing good now, but you know the best eating now? That stuff you put on meat. What do you call it? That yellow stuff. What do you call that?
Tenderoni.
Mustard.
It ain't good.
It ain't taste right. It's mustard.
It ain't. It don't taste like.
I haven't had a steak, piece of steak in a year, 2 years. It don't taste right. Everybody tell you the meat just don't taste right.
Well, that's what they feed the cattle now.
Nothing don't taste right. You eat a potato. Potato don't taste right. Nothing tastes right. We're not living that long. We just exist. You ain't living. If y'all think y'all living, you ain't living. Yeah. We had some good food back in that day. Good food. Healthy food.
Like what? What type of food did y'all have back there?
You can say black-eyed peas. I like black-eyed peas. You cook black-eyed peas, it tastes like black-eyed peas. They don't taste like black-eyed peas now. You don't, nothing you eat, ain't nothing here if you eat tastes right. Or greens. Greens don't even taste right. No, your greens, my nephew was cooking a pot of greens today. And they smelled good, but they were, they ain't worth nothing.
Them Brooks cook?
Huh?
Them Brooks?
Yeah.
But he raised them and said.
I know, but they don't taste right. They just don't taste right. And the fruit, you go and eat the fruit. They're telling the people to stay off of that fruit.
Yeah.
You know, they claim that all the fruit is poor. Grapes and all that stuff is poor. Grapes and anything like that is poor.
What kind of fluid they say is some kind of fluid they're spraying on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I seen that on news.
We had nitrogen. We didn't have all that spraying and stuff on the vegetables and stuff like that. Natural, what Mother Nature put out, that's what it is. But you spray everything now for the bugs and things. The greens and things, you spray it in great. Of course. We ain't living in. Ain't doing nothing, killing ourselves. Killing ourselves. I just made them wrong, sir. Hey. I'm behind time, but excuse me. I got to take some medicine.
Okay.
Right about there. Now, they'll come back now. I know where I've been, but I don't know where I'm going. Huh?
I told him, go ahead, okay. He got a bunch of questions.
Well, I tell you, most of my life, I didn't know nothing but the railroad. I didn't know nothing but the railroad. That's mostly what all black people knew what to do with the railroad. That was the best paying job and everything to the railroad. See, we had, one time we had around 675 breakers here. 600, all black breakers. 675. And they was all working. Yeah, they was all working.
And they lived right here in this area, right here.
We used to have six passenger trains on every day.
That's just breaking. Ain't counting the blacks was over there in that shop.
No.
I had a woman tell me that they worked in the shop, cleaning the engines and stuff. She said, yeah. A bunch of women.
Yeah.
Used to work in the shop.
Oh, yeah, too. There used to be a bunch of them there.
Back during the war.
Yeah. They couldn't get no men.
That was during the war.
Yeah. We couldn't get no men. They weren't women. All in.
Yeah, there's working women.
Plenty of women.
Washing in. What all did, forgive me for sounding so ignorant or something, but what did the brakemen do?
What happened?
What did they do?
The brakemen?
What kind of work they do?
Yes.
Switching them boxcars.
Well, it's a different type of work we did. There's one type, like in the yard, yeah, they don't do nothing but switch boxcars. And that's the third type that goes out on the road. And that's, you call that local, that's through freight. He don't do nothing but run and holler.
Pick up.
Yeah.
Pick up.
In some places you pick up. And the local, he just picks up the empties and spot the loads and things like that. And the switching, he just don't do nothing but switch in the yard. Used to be, we had six switching. Right here. Six switching. Yes. And we had all that black engine phone. It was all black engine phone. Because I was a foreman myself. I think I was one of the foreman, black foreman that tied up the engine and told him to call me another engineer. I was working down here, and he didn't want to take signal. I told him to cut the cars and let's go down to the south, north end. I went in there. I said, call me another engineer. The yard master said, what's wrong, Howard? I said, this engineer don't want to work. All right, Gus, call Howard another engineer. Let that engine sit right there until I get another engineer. I'm an old black one, did that. Hello now. Yeah. Yeah. All this was, we had plenty of trains. As I said, we had plenty of passenger trains. And trains is going and coming all day long. Going and coming. You hear head whistle all day long, going and coming. And as I said, I was the first black Negro tired of white Indian. You gonna get fired? I said, yeah, I'm fired. I ain't gonna work here. I didn't work here either. What's wrong with it? He's standing there all in the engine. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it, Howard? I said, I'm getting another engineer. Little old engineer. He's down there, he lives now. I think he's 96 years old, named Baby. I tied my job one evening by 4:15. I had him put in the roundhouse. I had a brakeman get his legs cut off. You remember there, Grandpa. The brakeman got his legs waking me. I was home and by 4 o'clock in one evening, he cut his legs off. And he was just flopping around like a chicken, just flopping. Yeah. He called me a preacher, you know. I preach, come out. Oh, I just didn't know what to do. I said, good news, his blood was shit, that's you everywhere. And the conductor had was over there, and he had one of them Jeeps. He said, come on, put him in my Jeep. We ain't got time for an ambulance. And we put him in that one of that Jeep, and that blood was all in that Jeep. And when we got him to the hospital and they went to raise him up, he just like that. We thought he was dead. The nurse said, he's gone. I said, no, I ain't. Put some of that air on him in there. put that air on him. It survived. When I left the hospital, he breathed. If they hadn't put that air on him, he'd have died. He lost his leg up here and one down here. Yeah, we call him Grandpa. And I tired of my job up then. Just went to start to work, went to work at 4 o'clock, and it was about 4:20 when that happened. And I told him, put the right engine in the roundhouse. I tied it up again. I said, no working. Now my crew ain't working. I go, let them go home. I was the only black Negro who did that. These other black Negroes, they were scared of the job. They're scared. It's because they was all Mr. Tom or something. You know, they're just scared of the job. I wasn't scared. I was young Negro. I was scared. You know, no, I wasn't scared. I know. Put him in the roundhouse. Let's go home. And I went home, too. I went home, drank me some hot milk. I said, I could hear that hollering. A distress hollering is different than any kind of hollering. It looks like it stays with you. But you don't want to hear it over there, too. No, I'll tell you one thing about railroad. Railroad was a danger job. It was dangerous. We ain't got a whole lot of brakemen to kill people. We got a whole lot of stuff to kill.
Let's see, Grandpa, Mr. Nelsmo. Nelsmo got his legs cut off.
Benson?
Yeah, Benson is three.
We got Steve Smith, he got Steve Goodson.
Yeah.
He lost his leg in swimming. Steve, he got killed. Oh, Well, he got killed. Oh, boy, you don't know.
Broke leg, broke arm.
How was he getting his leg? How were people getting their legs cut
out? Slide up under
there. Slide under there.
Mr. Sturton slide under the well. I was working for an Indian farmer, and he lost all his fingers. He was under the train was running over, and he just held his stuff from under the train, and he got his whole finger. That's all his whole brain. Jeff, you know he's there. He got all his fingers cut off. Yeah, it was a dangerous job, and some people worked years and never got a scratch on it. Now, my daddy, yes, he did. I saw he didn't get a scratch. But train turned over to him. Train turned over with him.
Your dad?
Yeah. Turned over with him. He tore him through the wire and rolled him. Yeah, it turned over with him. They all had got a little scratch.
You got your leg broke?
Yeah. Oh, I got hurt. Two or three times. I got my leg broke. Three places. Knocked off a boxcar. I was on a tall cliff too. When I hit, I rolled off of that cliff. A Mexican seen me and he come to me. He said, "Oh, partner, you hurt?" I said, "I don't know." He said, "Can you stand up?" And I tried to sign, I know. I fell back down. He run and got his car. Then he carried me to the hospital. That was about 8 o'clock that morning. He stayed with me all day until they put me on the patent train. That Mexican did. He was so nice. And they loaded me on the patent train that evening about 8 o'clock and brought me on, and when I got to the station, there was more people around the station. They heard that I got killed. But they thought, they were going to get a body. But I was alive. Now, you take the railroad now, we got you. It's all different now. Mostly Mexicans out there now. Mexicans white. They ain't hardly men. No black. All the same black is, they're all working out of Houston. They're all Indian, they're all in Kentucky. That's what they all do. And they were all of them working out of Houston. Now we got Ronnie, he's a conductor. He was in here to come in this morning. Right. We got all the black conductors just about retired. And every time they retire, they place a Mexican or white. You understand?
Yes.
So the railroad, mostly Mexicans are white now. Out there where it used to be black, out there you see nothing but Mexicans or white. Used to see Mexican women and white women and Mexican women out there. The one Mexican woman lost her leg out there at the Holland, so that stopped her. She quit. And we had three black women working out Houston. There was a pregnant. And it was too rough on them. It was too rough. They quit. But this railroad is nothing now. They don't want to even run the train like it used to. I think it is one train a day, that's all. Now. One train. There ain't nothing. The railroad, we used to get 7 to 8 trains out of the valley with fruit and vegetables. And they're running one right behind the other, and 10 minutes behind them on the other. About 70 cars apiece. The railroad don't want that business. They want nothing but chemicals now. All that fruit business, they give it to the trucks. They don't have now boxcar, now fruit come out of the valley now. They don't want it. They don't want the chemicals. They don't want chemicals. Now, they're fruit these trucks, are, boy, they're really doing the business.
Yeah, hauling fruit.
Yeah, hauling fruit and vegetables. This is the time of the year they have haul fruit and vegetables. They want, the railroad don't want it. Because there's more money in the chemicals, in the freighters. There's more freight in the chemicals than there is in that third. But you, we got a bunch of blacks, but they're all working out of Houston. I think we got about 6 or 7 black engineers working out of Houston. Young boys, they ain't nothing but black. I say about, what, 30 years old? About 30 years old. Oh, any of them. I don't think none of them are over 30 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Roy Union.
Roy Union.
Yeah, he's about, just about 30, but he's a conductor.
Is he conductor the highest you can get?
Engineer. The conductor is the highest. The engineer is at the highest speed. But the conductor is the boss of the first train. He the boss is when they go out there. He the boss. They got to do what he said to do. Now, they've been hiring them. Sometimes I see them 2 or 3 sitting on that engineer side over there when they're switching. Well, I know what they're doing. They're breaking them in for an engineer. See, a whole lot of the engineers and white engineers, they're getting so now 30-year service, they're making them get down. 30 years of service, you got to get down. And most of our used to be a conductor, they retired at 30 years service. Somewhere I would break my leg, and 2 or 3 of them retired.
Yeah, can't.
Can't, yeah, and AC. See?
With a carry.
Yeah, 30 years they had made them retire. You used to could work as long as you wanted. For 30 years, you got to, if you don't want to retire, they make you retire. But they were making good money out here, man. They were just, what? Train go down here to Holland and turn around and come back about 6 o'clock in the morning and that brakeman makes around $210-$220 a day for one day.
Wow.
About $210 a day. I don't know what the Oscar making now.
Double O?
Yeah, double O. Because he owned a different job.
Yeah, they cut that job out, didn't he? And he wouldn't work every day. He'd make too much.
He makes too much money.
Income tax. He worked about 2 or 3 days.
But if you want to make good money, you hire out there. But now you got to have a high school diploma.
Yes.
Yeah. After I have a high school, that's all they require, the high school diploma. My nephew got to get on, but I'm so glad he didn't get on.
David.
No way. He's been in the bed sleeping, the train been gone.
How many years did you work for the railroad?
30 years.
30 years? What position did you retire from?
Foreman. Yeah, foreman. And foreman. Yeah, we had engine foremen all down. Hodgson Yard had them, black engine foremen. Mission had it, and Brownville had engine foremen. Different places had black engine foremen. Here we had black Indian farmers. Holland Yard had Indian farmers. Brownwood had Indian farmers. We used to have them at Mission. They would give that job away, give it to the white man. They called it football yard now. There used to be black Indian farmers at San Benito, and they give that away. Well, I tell you one thing, we have black people who eat suffered to try to keep the white man off the farm. And we had spent money to keep the white man off the farm. If these old timers would turn over in their grave and see these people was out there invested, they'd die again. They'd die. And harder than working